Anyway, welcome to our pre-show. So I was thinking of this thing. I was listening. Oh, I know. They're doing this thing on Korea. And I saw this thing on TV, no, on YouTube, but I think it was also on television. And it was pretty strange. I suppose it happens, but I'd never seen anything quite like this. There's a disputed border region between India and China at this very remote mountain lake in, I believe, the Kashmir area, near the Kashmir area, Peshwan area of India, and whatever area that is of China, these two, you know, provinces. And the border there is extremely remote. Nothing to connote or denote that there's a border except for the fact that there are soldiers on either side. I don't know where they are, where they're sitting, and I don't know what, if they bivouacked someplace, you know. And there also is some construction that was being attempted by the Chinese that the Indians have said, no. Anyway, here's the thing that I saw. The clip said Indian and Chinese soldiers throwing rocks at each other. You know, in other words, nobody pulled a gun. They got to believe they've got them. Instead, they got into what I'm assuming was a verbal confrontation followed by a series of fights and rock throwing. And whoever was taking this video was above it up the side of a hill or mountain looking down on these guys. Couldn't have been more than a couple of hundred yards away. Well, maybe not that much, maybe 100 yards away. And at one point, you see one guy just fall. And he goes limp, and these guys grab him and drag him out of there. And but he looks like he's okay because he gets up and walks back and starts talking to these dudes. I never seen anything like it before in my life between adults, you know, throwing rocks at each other. Those are two extremely populous countries. You know, China with 1 billion. I think India is approaching 1 billion, isn't it? India's got to have a fucking billion packed into that little triangle of a country, right? You want to hear a real trippy thing? This will trip you out a little bit. The continents as they look today, if you look at a map of the world, the continents as they look today did not look that way 65 million, 100 million years ago. The world looked very different because the world is always changing. As species evolve, the look of the world is evolving. The Earth itself is evolving from what was once mostly, I guess, volcanic to, oceans, to then the receding of the oceans, and the land masses changed, and there were earthquakes, and pieces of the landmass broke off and sunk, or they went. Well, India, at one time, was attached to Africa, and as the millions of years went by, India became detached from Africa and floated northward, slamming into the sub-Asian continent, which is why we have the Himalayas. The Himalayas, literally, that's buckled earth over a period of God knows how many, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of years, that earth just slowly buckling, we got the Himalayas. Now I'm going to trip you out with one more thing. The continent of Africa actually ends in northern Italy, in the Alps. Scientists have somehow taken a look at the landmass of Africa, and I don't know how they figure these things out, but it looks like to their eyes and to their reckoning and their equations, well, this landmass, if you take away the Mediterranean Ocean and we just look at Africa, it actually extends much further north than it does. And we can see where there's a tectonic maybe separation of some kind, or a landmass separation where one landmass originated at one point of the earth and the other landmass originated at the other point of the earth, and Europe and Africa met in the Alps, another sort of buckled piece of land. Now, why do we call it Europe today? Because the Mediterranean is an obvious natural barrier that separates those two, what we know today as continents, Africa from Europe. Makes sense? You say, well, no, Africa extends a little bit more. Now, fuck it, we'll just land Africa there, and psh, yeah, this is all Europe, and thank you very much. Many too many stand before me. Boy, this world, man. Jesus H. fucking Christ. What a nutcase fucking world it's become, huh? Boy, I remember when the Iron Curtain came down. In fact, we had to have Steve Bozell talk about, man, I remember the Iron Curtain come down. Everybody said, you know, it's all going to be chill. Now it's nothing but, you know, Trump going back and Putin and all the commies. I don't know whether I'm coming or going, man. I don't know whether to flip or fall in it. I can dig it.
What the fuck is this? What is this? What?
I'm going to just start closing programs here, man. I'm just going to start closing fucking programs. If I see something open that I don't recognize, I'm going to close that motherfucker, and I'll let my crew come in, and if they miss it, they go, oh, just what happened to it? Well, then maybe what you ought to do is save it, because I got shit open here, and I don't... What an asshole, Phil. All right, I'm sorry. So how about that, huh? Watch the very heavy movie that I'd never seen before, and I probably should have. It was contemporaneous to a period where I was watching a lot of movies, the early 70s. I'd just gotten out of high school, and I was kind of between adventures in life. And I was eventually going to move to Florida. But I watched a movie I didn't see then called The Friends of Eddie Coyle with Robert Mitchum, Peter Boyle, Richard Jordan. Pretty good cast of character people. It's a hood. Robert Mitchum plays this Irish-American hood who gets caught in a squeeze between the gangs that he runs with and the police. And he has to turn rat. He's got to turn fink. A lousy, stinking fink. And what that costs him. Spoiler. I won't spoil nothing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I had a dream the other night. Last night I had a dream that the limiting and the compression of the show was completely fucked. I was listening to the podcast in my car, and I could hear a lot of things loud and other shit I couldn't hear. And I was like, what the fuck? I was getting pissed off. In other words, it was just like a dream about real life. But, what about that shit today, man, with the NFL players? I got really pissed off, as I'm sure you can well imagine. I know. By the way, the guy that was harassing us during the chat, I don't know if you guys were with us on Friday night, that dude had never, ever, ever requested a cancellation. I talked to my customer service people. They never got any fucking request for cancellation. So that motherfucker was in there, you know, just being a dick. Because we do, man. People want a cancellation, bang, we do it. We don't know ifs, ands, or buts. We don't fuck around with it. And I also found out what this guy does for a living. This guy, you know, he's got a fairly high-profile gig. And he's over here fucking with me? I mean, Jesus Christ. You know, if I wanted to, I could let the people he works for know what he's up to when he's just kicking it on a Friday night and he's had too much to drink. Maybe that was it. Excuse me, do you allow your employees after hours to this, that, and something else? What do you mean? Well, you see, it begins like that. And I wouldn't do it unless the guy was like completely out of fucking line. But, I checked out the guy's where he lived and this and that, and then his occupation. I said, shit, man. So I did a little snooping online, and he's got a job that's, let me put it to you this way. You guys, at some point in your lives, you don't interact with it, but you've watched him work. You're not him, but you've watched this kind of profession. You watch them work. And it's a fun job. And I would say, well, look, maybe you had a bad day at work, whatever. But coming on and harassing everybody online and shitting all over our website because you're just in a bad mood. Because I'm telling you right now, I asked those guys, have we ever gotten a request for a cancellation from so-and-so, such-and-such? No. Okay, because I know that they're on it. I mean, I tell my people, I said, we get cancellations, we want to make sure that those cancellations go through. And we want to make sure if they want a refund, they get a refund if they qualify for one, okay? I don't want this shit hanging around week after week and somebody goes, hey, I requested a cancellation. Just do it, you know, because it helps us, you know, first of all, it helps us understand what kind of business we're doing. There's a thing on TV right now about the very first soldiers that went into Afghanistan after 9/11, special forces, and they were on horseback. They were riding with the Northern Alliance Afghan soldiers. And the guy said these are the first cavalry troops the United States has had since World War I. And I thought, whoa. You're in the mountains. You don't have your ATV with you. You don't have your fucking Jeep. You're with a bunch of native Afghan fighters. These cats don't know from Jeeps or ATVs. They're on fucking horses, man. And so that's what these dudes did. They, well, give me my horse. Hey, you come over here. You sign up for the horse, yo. Okay, I mean... And they sure as fuck knew how to ride these horses. They got on these goddamn things. You see these cats just, yeah, taking off. I remember right after I remember in way, way back when those guys first went in Afghanistan, when we found out they'd gone in, because they actually went in weeks before we were told they went in. They were playing the most bizarre fucking game I'd ever seen in my life, played with a dead goat. On horseback, the dead goat is like the ball, and your team has the dead goat, and whether you pass the dead goat between horses, I don't know, but it showed a picture of it was clearly an American soldier who was hollering and cheering because I guess his side won the dead goat derby, because he was just all, yeah. Yeah, I guess there was a time, man, when, you know, we had a cavalry. I don't think we had one after World War One. I don't think we had one after World War One. World War II was the first highly mobile war, you know, where we had fucking four-wheel, we had vehicles, you know. World War One, we had trucks and cars, but they did not navigate off-road. They didn't navigate some of the terrain that they had to be in, because we're talking about a war zone here. Shell craters, all kinds of shit. And you don't just drive a regular car with that. That's when we came up with the Jeep. And of all the shit that we sold to Russians, we sold all kinds of shit to people all over the world in World War II. Not sold, but lend lease, whatever deal we struck with these countries. We were sending the British all kinds of fucking ships, Navy, gear, everything. And somebody else got something else. The Russians, we sent... We sent them trucks. I believe we sent them some of the Sherman tanks. But the Russians had a superior tank. They had a T-24. Badass fucking tank. Every bit as deadly as the German Mark IV. And Panther tanks. But the one thing the Russians loved, they fucking fell in love. They said they couldn't get enough of these fucking things, were Jeeps. Russians were like, yeah, this fucking good, you know. No. Hey, listen, Ivan, I got to get out of here with that shit. Aha! You know, I got another truck for you, man. Fuck it. Because the Russians built trucks, and they knew how to build trucks, and they knew how to build really fucking sturdy trucks, and they knew their roads better than anybody. They knew exactly how much they needed to carry, the weight load, all that shit. We know the truck. But the Jeep was very unique. The Jeep was off-road. And all that shit, you could take a vehicle anywhere. They hadn't thought of that. At least they thought of that. They hadn't really started working on it, you know? They loved it. They fell in love with a Jeep. They couldn't get enough Jeeps. All right. General Tommy Franks. What the Christ is... Oh, this goddamn thing. Sunday night on CNN's the worst, man. I know. Yeah, I watch CNN. And not because I'm a fucking commie lib, although I guess people think I am. But because, seriously, they actually cover a lot of news. They don't... You know, they're not fucking hammering my fucking ass with goddamn right-wing shit. I would watch Fox in a second, man, if they had a little bit more of an objective view. Like, I looked at all the shit happening today with the president and with the players and the anthem and the fucking flag and all that shit, and I look at Fox, what's trending? Some model got scalped and bled out, and it's a horrible murder. That was their story. Well, all right, if I'm reading the Inquirer, if I want some tabloid shit, I get it. I know where I can go. But I don't go to Fox for that stuff. I get some alternative news going on, man. I read the Washington Post. I read the New York Times. I know that all sounds like, but I got to tell you something, man. The Washington Post has Pulitzers. The New York Times has fucking Pulitzers. I read traditional sources of news. Some people may say mainstream media, all bad. Great. But guess who cites the mainstream media just as much as guys like me? Trump and all of those people that, you know, all the right wingers, they cite it whenever it's convenient for them. They cite it. Hey, did you read the Washington Post? It says that we're. So, you know, get out of here, will you? Get fucking real. Let's just talk Reuters, AP. I stay away from ABC. So that may surprise some people. Why? Because I think they're too fucking liberal. I think ABC is got a real weird bent to them. I don't even go to NBC because the whole MSNBC thing. Boston Globe. I read that. LA Times sometimes. LA Times sometime in the last 30 years went from a right-wing paper to a left-wing paper. I mean, fucking bing, fast. I gotta find this thing, man. So Morgan Murphy is having her birthday party. I've gotten my annual invitation. I hope I can make it this. I will make it because I just told her that I was just RSVP'd, I should say. What's tomorrow? What's the date today? 24? Yeah, okay, cool. Well, wait a minute, man. I got an email from Phil Proctor of the Firesign Theater. For a guy like me, that's a big fucking email. Firesign Theater was one of my huge influences. I think I was telling you guys last week. And I'm going to interview him in a couple of weeks. And he sent me a really sweet email. And I'm like, this is Phil Proctor. You know. Aha. No, man. Not the week of 9/18. The week of fucking 9/25. Where is it? The hell, man. Where are you, dude? 9/18. How? Why would I get that email? Maybe he put the date wrong. Oh, Jesus, man. Come on. Hey, man. Wait a minute, man. I just saw it. I'm looking for an email that we usually get. There it is. Oh. What is this, man? Oh, no. Oh, shit. Okay, that's that, man. That's a trip. 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 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. What the fuck is that? God, I gotta redo that whole. I gotta think. I think that a lot of the protest was a little confused today. You stood, locked arms in solidarity, or you kneeled, or you, I don't know. It was, you know, and then Trump tried to backpedal on this thing. He didn't like the whole disrespect of the, well, it's okay if you stand and disrespect the flag that way. Or maybe it wasn't disrespecting. I don't watch football anymore. And then I want to get the, I got to get the email from Gary. No, my boy, here we go. Gary Shapiro, here we go. Ah, here we go. Great, Gary. Thank you. I'm going to be the co-host, if you will, of a charitable event, which I'd like to tell you about. Okay. How do I print this shit out, man? Where's the printer on this motherfucker? Oh, I know. Yeah, man, print that, man. Yeah, print that. Turn this piece of shit off. Many too many stood before me. Oh, mama. All right. What do you think of that, man? I printed that shit out and did not fuck nothing up and everything like this. That's fucking cool, you know. Sometimes you don't know, you know, if it'll do that or not, but it did. It did just to see the thing. Yeah, you know,
of all the things that I do on this particular little show, the whole bit where Boyd Sky Baby Sweet Dan crashes after everything is just about as weird as it gets. See, what am I doing? Oh, yeah. That's really fucking strange. But I've always enjoyed the idea of mayhem followed by just a voice going, hi, you know. Okay, we're about right here, man. There we go. All right, man. We're ready. We're as ready as we're ever going to be. I mean, you know. Ghostly Island, I love it. It was called Ghostly Island. Okay, here we go, Daddy-O. I don't know. I didn't get any copy for this week, so I'm faking it. One, two, and a one, two, three.